just know, while Mitch is finishing up his, I already have housed 3 pieces of corned beef in that break right there. I was starving.
So good. Shout out Natty Oaks.
Oh, man.
For crushing it. They do a great job over there. No doubt. We were there.
Piece left.
Oh, nice.
Right, yeah.
You've done a bunch of leadoff shows there, right, Tommy? Or a few?
Yeah.
Over at Natty Oaks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're great.
Yeah, definitely a good spot. This is the Mason Crosby Show. I'm Mitch Nellis. He's Tommy Wirtz. Mason Crosby in the house. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. Joining the show, NFL agent to the stars, Mr. Mike McCartney. Mike, thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Good to be on with you guys.
No doubt. And, I mean, you've had trouble clients in the past, I'm sure. But was anyone more just, like, ridiculous, like, the bowl of green M&Ms in their rider? And, like, was anyone more difficult than Mason Crosby?
Yeah.
At the risk of shortening this show, Mason is extremely high maintenance.
Yes, exactly. We know, Mike. Just a difficult guy to work with. Way ahead of the game on that.
He was saved, though, because he's University of Colorado Buffalo. And so he's always had a special place in my heart as a result.
That's right. I could do no wrong. Yeah, Mike McCartney joining us. He's my longtime NFL agent, former Colorado Buff. If you don't know, the last name, his dad, Bill McCartney, won that national championship.
Yep,
there at Colorado. And was just such a great coach and was so awesome there in November when I went into the Colorado Hall of Fame. There was also a ceremony for Bill McCartney and putting a statue up and like honoring him and his legacy. So the whole McCartney family was there. It was so perfect to get to see all that. Oh, is that the statue?
A mini statue. And my sister-in-law got inducted into the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame with Mason that night.
Oh,
so
nice.
A really cool weekend for our family.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, well, so Mike, we'll dive into some college stuff because I have some questions. We love to talk on the show about, the NIL world and what's going on in college sports. But I do want to talk about the NFL free agency process from your agent perspective. What that looks like as we build up, to free agency, that started last week, going to the combine, doing all the stuff. What is your process as you start seeing that guys might re-sign or you got free agents coming up? Like, how do you kind of dive into that process, here in early March?
Yeah, certainly. We have our list of free agents and we look at the marketplace and see where, we think they could fit in that marketplace, but teams don't always agree with that. So, the combine has been really interesting. Legally teams aren't allowed to talk in depth with us about where they, what their plans are, but we have a chance to, share about our players and what we're kind of looking for. I never talk money at the combine. It's really just kind of who's going to be on our dance card type of thing.
Yeah.
And really what I have found, though, in the last few years, the combine has not been as fruitful for me. And so, honestly, this year I turned down a lot of meetings and chances to meet with teams. And there's just too much time between the combine and the start of free agency. And then think about this. We had 10 head coaching changes. We had 14 defensive coordinator changes and 21 offensive coordinator changes.
It's crazy.
Teams were not ready for free agency in most teams until the couple days leading up to it. So the conversations really aren't as fruitful as they used to be anyway. And then when the gun goes off, it's nuts. We're going to try and talk to all 32 teams about each player. And of course we have an idea going into it and we focus more on those teams, but you just don't know who's going to call when your phone's going to ring. And it is a hectic, hectic few days. And I do want to illustrate how hectic it is. So as you know, free agency started a week ago Monday, March 9th. And my wife and I had our anniversary on Thursday, March 12th. It was our 32nd anniversary.
Mazel tov.
And we had agreed. Congrats. Thank you. Thank you. And we had agreed ahead of time. We were going to wait to go to dinner Friday night. And so Thursday, I hustle out. I go get a couple cards. Of course, I'm on my phone. I'm distracted. I don't even have my readers on me. And Friday night, we're kind of getting ready. And she's like, oh, we haven't even exchanged cards yet. So I go back to my office. I quickly fill out the cards. And I hand them to her. and they both said, happy birthday.
Oh, no.
Double birthday cards. Oh. Perfect for the anniversary. I love that.
So I don't know what illustrates that kind of a week better for me than that.
Yeah, just total chaos. That is awesome. Yeah, and talk about, so high maintenance, Mike, you talked about me being high maintenance. I mean, we never had to go into that period of time with the Packers. I mean, I had a couple where we had some stressful moments. We had to renegotiate, you know, 2012 to 13. But I mean, I always re-signed, before the craziness. I did that as a kindness and a service to you so that you could just, yes, you know, deal with all the other, you know, high maintenance linebackers, quarterbacks, you know, all the guys that, need all that attention. So, who do you represent right now that, either signed a deal or you're still, you know, out there looking to get on the team?
Yeah. So I had Boye Mafe, with the Super Bowl winning Seahawks, and, Boye is a talented pass rusher out of the University of Minnesota, you know, played a lot for 4 years. And just with their scheme and how everything went, you know, being on a really good team and a really good D-line, he ended up with 2 sacks this year. And I heard that a lot from every team. Like, how do we pay a guy top dollar with only 2 sacks? And so ultimately, though, that was something we feel great about. Ended up getting him with the Bengals for $20 million a year. And did a 3-year deal with the Bengals, and really excited about how they're going to play him in their scheme. One of the things that's new this year is we were able to put our player on a Zoom with a team up to an hour. And so we did have Boye meet with a couple teams, and that was invaluable because in years past, they had to rely solely on the agent.
I think that's a great adjustment. Yeah, that's good that they
can do that now. Yeah, and listen, you know, with my football background and my scouting background, you know, that played to my strengths a little bit, but still put a lot of pressure on me to articulate it all for the team now to say, hey, here's how we see you, your strengths, your weaknesses, and here's how we're going to employ you in our scheme. That gave Boye, in this instance with the Bengals, a lot of confidence that he would fit great. Then N'Kobe Dean, linebacker with the Eagles. N'Kobe is I'll use an old school term, a playmaking Jesse. He's not the biggest linebacker. He's endured a few injuries along the way, but he is an instinctive playmaker. And, the Eagles pretty much drafted his replacement last year, Jahad Campbell out of Alabama. And as much as they wanted him back, they're having some cap issues. So we ended up choosing the Las Vegas Raiders, and, you know, $12 million a year for N'Kobe is a good deal. So, okay. Those were 2 good deals, and they both went Monday afternoon. Those Zooms helped, again, to help the player learn about the club, maybe buy a little time for me to continue to talk to other teams was beneficial. And then I've got my typical quarterback, as you called him, high maintenance without calling him by name, Kirk Cousins.
I know I was going to ask you directly, like, what's going on there? And I just wanted you to talk about some of his past contracts because – you know, with Minnesota, you were one of the first to get, you know, a fully guaranteed deal there.
Yeah, so he was drafted by Washington, hardly played his first 3 years, and then started in year 4. And, at that point, Washington wasn't sure he could be a long-term starter and tried to sign him to a below-market deal, at least the way we viewed it. And ultimately, you know, I had said to Kirk, hey, if you play on the franchise tag, you're an ascending young player who's only going to get better. So we can make an assumption you're going to get the second year in a row of franchise tag. Well, the franchise tag back then was $20 million for a quarterback. We knew because you get a 20% bump automatically that year two would be $24 million. So what that $44 million combined framed the negotiation going forward. And Washington couldn't get there. And he went to the market and we signed a 3-year first ever fully guaranteed contract in NFL history with the Vikings, and did a couple extensions with them. His last year, 6th year in Minnesota, he tears his Achilles in Lambeau Field, which we blame the grass.
Pro-grass show, Mike.
We're pro-grass. We're pro-grass. Yeah.
Let's be pro-good grass. But anyway.
That's a different kind of show, Mike.
Okay. Yeah.
That's April 20th.
That's right.
So, coming off that Achilles, Minnesota, you know, knew that they were hoping to draft a quarterback and really could only commit 1 year to Kirk. And Atlanta told us what we wanted to hear and gave us the requisite contract, and then, you know, misled us by drafting Michael Penix. So yeah. The last couple of years in Atlanta was really difficult for Kirk. And listen, at the end of the day, you know, they're good people, but they misled us and they ended up, it was a bad decision. They all got fired, you know? So, so going into this year, Kirk has $10 million fully guaranteed. And what we couldn't foresee, you know, in the last several months leading up to this offseason, there were four quarterbacks that were essentially available for the league minimum this year. And that really changed the calculus or the psychology of how teams looked at the quarterback market. Mm. I went into free agency knowing there were nine teams that needed a starting quarterback. Jeez. Three of them were absolutely going to go cheap because they could, because they had options, right? Yeah. There were another three or four teams that I always felt like would have an eye on the 2027 quarterback draft, which sitting here today has a chance to be pretty special. Now, NIL can change all that, up and down play, injuries, whatever. But sitting here today, it looks like a very promising draft. And so these teams with a new coach, a new GM, maybe don't have to win right away. And so they could make a decision either with a cheap quarterback or maybe a young one, catch lightning in a bottle, and not go after the 38-year-old starter. So mm-hmm. kind of felt like the last week or two heading into free agency, like this was going to be a challenge for us. And, you know, with Kirk, I just said, listen, we got three avenues. Of course, we got to look for a starting job. And right now that starting job looks like it's a team asking you to play for the minimum. The second avenue is play as a backup. Now, if you're going to be a backup, let's go to a team that's really good so that if you have a chance to get on the field, it might be the best team you've ever played on. Or we can be patient and just let things, you know, play out, whether it's the draft or even early into the season. There's always something that goes on at that position, whether it's injury or poor play. So we're still working through all three of those avenues right now, and we've been through that the last couple of weeks.
Mike, it's funny to hear that because I literally – those I can't tell you how many times Mike and I had that three-prong conversation. Like,
yeah.
Well, we can,
you know, your
can
options.
Go with the Packers. We can, you know, kind of wait it out and see what other teams are there. And then, like, you know, it's like those conversations happen all the time, you know, back and forth with NFL agent. Go ahead, Tommy.
Absolutely, Tommy, you're up.
Yeah, Mike, I had a question. And Mike McCartney joining us here from Vayner Sports on the Mason Crosby Show. I'm sure it's different for you now that you've been doing this for a little bit, but you just keep throwing around, well, $45 million a year, and you know, we got him $24 million and $20 million over here. Like, when you go into your first meeting talking about Kirk Cousins' deal or any of these deals where that number just hit, what's that like? Is it just this adrenaline rush that you're going through constantly? Is it, you know, a pressure pack that you got to control your emotions during this? Because for a lot of us, you know, when you hear a number like $45 million a year, a fully guaranteed $200 million contract, I mean, there's a lot of pressure to get a deal done, but you also kind of have an idea of this will get done by someone eventually.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I don't really think along those lines in a negotiation. It's more, you know, just looking at the marketplace, making a case why, you know, a Mason Crosby should be at this number and comparing to the comparable players, you know, that are in that marketplace. One of the things that I've always done is I never look at the total dollars until I'm done. I just like, because I don't want that to sway, you know, how we think. Like, let's just stay on point, keep talking football, keep talking about fit.
Is that something that you also avoid with your athletes then too?
Well, I try to, you okay. know, listen, a lot of players, there's so much education that goes in before you get to a negotiation to try to get them to understand how this is going to go. And it's interesting, I've always said to teams and players, I really have two negotiations every time, one with the club and one with the player, yeah. you know, and some of my toughest negotiations have been with players, to be honest. I've been fortunate. Mason can attest. I get to work with great kid, great people, high character guys that love football. And some of those guys are so team oriented that they will literally say, that's plenty of money for me. Let me sign that and save for the other guys. And I have to educate them.
So you're negotiating on their behalf. You're like, all right, come on. Like,
seriously, you know, so I just try to stay the course when I'm going through something and not try to think how it affects, you know, me personally or the firm or any of that nonsense. Like, hey, what's best for the player? And then honestly, I want to get myself, for lack of a better term, in a lather to sell it with conviction and belief. And so many times when the negotiation ends, I'm miserable because I didn't get every dollar that I was trying to get. And I've kind of taught myself through the years that take that hour after a deal, be miserable, embrace that suck in a sense to try and kind of say, hey, where could I have been better? Where can I learn? Where can I grow and be a better negotiator the next time? So that's kind of where my focus is when I'm going through these things.
I love that. And, you know, obviously our connection through Colorado and then your experience through coaching at Colorado and going back after, you know, after that, and then becoming a scout and like your progression to becoming an agent has served you really well through this job, right? Because you see players through a different lens, not just, hey, let's get them the best, you know, the deal, throw all this money, do all this. Like, you evaluate the players that you sign up that you want to represent from a football standpoint, not just a dollars and cents standpoint as well.
No doubt. I sat in those free agent meetings for 9 years. I was a pro guy with the Bears for 6. I was the director of pro for the Eagles for 3. I ran those meetings. And so I do look at it from a football perspective and believing that if I just talk football and answer any concerns or you know, really drive home why this player is a great fit in the scheme, in the room, in the locker room, whatever it might be, I think that plays to my strengths and then sells the player better in the long run. So I definitely lean on my football background as I negotiate.
I love it. I guess I got one more question, and I want to go to I kind of want to go to college, maybe specifically Colorado. Like, how you viewing the university right now? How do you think CU Buffs are going to be this year? And then just touch a little bit on the kind of crazy landscape of what college football, NIL and all that space has been. And are you involved in any of that side of things from the college side?
Definitely involved in NIL. I'll start with the Buffs. I thought when Deion got there, his strategy was to sign former 5- and 4-star guys at top 10 programs. Not that they would put it this way, that effectively failed. And they went to Colorado and they failed in many cases, you know. Now, you know, Hunter comes in and saves us, you know.
Yeah.
And Shador was a good quarterback, obviously. But last year it blew up in our face. And I feel like they've done a 180. They have a new GM in charge. And now they're going down levels and they're looking for guys who, it's not theory anymore. These guys have been playmakers. They've made plays. Now, to ask me how we're going to, I'm going to say we, because I still bleed
that's
black
right.
and gold.
That's fair.
Yeah, how we're going to do? How do we know? Like, we're signing G5 and D2 guys that none of us have ever heard of, you know. And the concern is there's so many changes. You know, how do you build a team? You know, and so the fear is that Colorado is in this up and down nature. One year we're good, the next year we're not very good because our roster churns and turns over so much every year. So no clue how we're going to be. I think there's promise with the quarterback. You know, I actually have a player that we signed that our firm represents to him. But again, until we see the product on the field, I don't think we have a clue how they're going to be. And they could be a lot better. I have heard that a lot of the kids that came in previously came in with attitudes. And again, if you think about it, if you're coming from Alabama, Georgia, and all these top programs, they don't view Colorado in that sense. So there's a little bit of a disappointment in a sense. Well, now you're coming from different schools that are below Colorado and they're excited to be a Buff.
Yeah.
This is a dream come true. And they've got 30 or 40 of those kids. So the hope is they evaluated well. and then they can integrate them and build a culture and a team, you know. So, but again, no idea how Colorado's going to be.
Mike, we're kind of up against it, but I got to ask, have you ever represented a special teams coordinator in any contract negotiations?
I have not. I don't represent coaches. So
oh, just okay. All right. Yeah. Just wondering if there could be any overlap.
I'd have to get
here.
A new agent if I became a coordinator.
Whoa, I did not say that, Molly. I did not say that. Okay.
These guys have been pushing me to try to get me to become a special teams coordinator. And then
we think Mason would be really good at it. That's all.
Mason would be great at it.
Yeah. You do have kicker, obviously, experience. Real quick, I don't know if it's taboo to talk about other people. Is Brandon Aubrey going to be the first eight-figure man at the kicking position?
No, I don't see that. Per year, I don't see them doing that.
Okay,
right. He has floated out that number, or his people have.
Yeah, I don't see the Cowboys going that high. This isn't like Lindenbaum, you know, going to the Raiders.
Yeah.
And, you know, one point about that, remember this, he's in a closed market. He can't talk to anybody else effectively. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No one's going to get a first rounder. It's when you're in an open market that you can really blow through a marketplace. You can't do that in a closed market.
Mm, okay. All right. Makes sense.
Awesome. Yep. Well, Mike, thank you so much for jumping on today. This was a blast. Can we have you back sometime?
Absolutely. Anytime for Mason. A very low maintenance podcaster.
Yeah, that's right. I love it. We'll keep it easy for you. Appreciate you, Mike.
He's Mike McCartney, NFL agent and Mason's agent, and just an absolute blast to have on the show. Joined us on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. We'll be back with more here on the Mason Crosby Show. Happy St. Patrick's Day.